गिरिवराधारे जयाशोदनन्दना जय ब्रज जनरञ्जना जय ब्रज जनरञ्जना जयाशोदनन्दना जय ब्रज जनरञ्जना जय ब्रज जनरञ्जना जया जमुना तीर बनचारी जया कुंज बिहारी जया जमुना तीर बनचारी जया कुंज बिहारी जया राधा माधव जया कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव जया कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराश्रम भागवतं की ताई गौर प्रेमनंदी ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरंगा
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing with Gajendra Returns to the Spiritual World. It's Canto 8, Chapter 4, Text 13. Evan vimuksya gaja kutapam abhya napas. Tenapi pas shadagatim gamitena yuktaha. Gandharva siddha vibhutar apagiyamana. Ap karma bhutam sva bhavanam karna dashano gat. Evan vimoksha gajara yuta pamabhya na pas. Tenapi parsada gatim gamitena yuktaha. Gandharva sita vibhutar apigayamana. Karma bhutam sva bhavanam garuda shano gat. Eva mimoksha gajayata pam abhyana pas. Tena pi pasadagatim ganitena yaktaha. Gandharva sita vibhutar apigayamana. Kurmad bhutam sva bhavanam garuda shano gat. Evam vimoksha gaja yuta pam abhyanabhas. Tenapi pasada gatim gamitena yukta. Gantabha siddhaya vibhutaru pagyamana. Karmad bhutam svabhuvanam garudashanogat. Evan vimoksha gajayata ganabhyanabhas. Tenapi pasada gatim gamitena yuktaha. Gandhava sita vyudhara vikayamana. Mabhutam sva bhavanam garuda shano gat. Evan vimoksha gaja yutak pamabhyasnabhas. Tenapi pasada gatim gamitena yukta. Gandharva siddha vibhutar upagayamana. Karma bhutam sva bhavanam garuda shano gat. Evan vimoksha gajayuta ganabhyanabhas. Tena pipashada gatim gamitena yukta. Gandharva siddha vibhutar apigayamana. Kama bhutam sva bhavanam garuda shano gat. Word for word. Evam, this. Vimoksha, delivering. Gaja yuta pam, the king of the elephants. Gajendra. Abhya Napaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whose navel sprouts a lotus flower. Tena, by him, Gajendra. Api, also. Pashadagatim, the position of the Lord's associate. Agamitena, who had already gotten. Yukta, accompanied. Gandharva, by the denizens of Gandharva Loka. Siddha, the denizens of Siddha Loka. Vibhudai, and by all great learned sages. Upagiyaman were being glorified. Karma, his transcendental activities. Adbhutam, all wonderful. Svabhavanam, to his own abode. Garuda Asana, sitting on the back of Garuda. Agat, returned. Translation. Upon delivering the king of the elephants from the clutches of the crocodile and from material existence, which resembles a crocodile, the Lord awarded him the status of Sarupya Mukti. In the presence of the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, and the other demigods who were praising the Lord for his wonderful transcendental activities, the Lord, sitting on the back of his carrier, Garuda, returned to his all-wonderful abode and took Gajendra with him. Translation. Was that? And the purport. In this verse, the word vimoksha is significant. For a devotee, moksha or mukti, salvation, means getting the position of the Lord's associate. The impersonalists are satisfied to get the liberation of merging in the Brahman effulgence. But for a devotee, mukti, liberation, means not to merge in the effulgence of the Lord, but to be directly promoted to the Vaikuntha planets and to become an associate of the Lord. In this regard, there is a relevant verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. Tate nukampam shushamikshamano bunjana evatma krita vipakam hritvag vapurhir viradan namaste jiveto yo mukta pade sa dayabak. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances unto you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. A devotee who tolerates everything in this material world and patiently executes his devotional service can become Muktipade Sadaya Book, a bona fide candidate for liberation. The word Daya Bak, sorry, it is Bak, refers to a hereditary right to the Lord's mercy. A devotee must simply engage in devotional service, not caring about material situations. Then he automatically becomes a rightful candidate for promotion to Vaikuntha Loka. The devotee who renders unalloyed service to the Lord gets the right to be promoted to Vaikuntha Loka, just as the son inherits the property of his father. When a devotee gets liberation, he becomes free from material contamination and engages as a servant of the Lord. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Muktir hitvanyata rupam svarupena vyavastitihi. The word svarup refers to svarup mukti, going back home, back to Godhead, and remaining the Lord's eternal associate, having regained a spiritual body exactly resembling that of the Lord, with four hands holding the shank, chakra, gada, and padma. The difference between the mukti of the impersonalist and that of the devotee is that the devotee is immediately appointed an eternal servant of the Lord, whereas the impersonalist, although emerging in the effulgence of the Brahmajyoti, is still insecure and therefore generally falls again to this material world. Aruha krichena param padam tata patanti adho nadrita yasmat angrayaha. That's Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Although the impersonalist rises to the Brahman effulgence and enters into that effulgence, he has no engagement in the service of the Lord and therefore is again attracted to materialistic philanthropic activities. Thus, he comes down to open hospitals and educational institutions, feed poor men, and perform similar materialistic activities, which the impersonalist thinks are more precious than serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anadrita yusmad anigrayaha. The impersonalists do not think that the service of the Lord is more valuable than serving the poor man or starting a school or hospital. Although they say, Brahma satyam jagan mitya, Brahman is real and the material world is false, they are nonetheless very eager to serve the false material world and neglect the service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om agyana timrandasya gananjana shalakaya shakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shri sadi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this particular verse in the purport has a prayer by Lord Brahma that's being quoted. And this particular prayer is being quoted in order to explain the position of the devotee in relation to his receiving liberation or being promoted to the Vaikuntha planets. So that particular prayer, Tate Nukampam Shushamikshan Tano Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam Kridvag vapurhir viradan namaste jiveto yo muktas pade sadaya bak. My dear Lord, this is the exact translation, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So that was in the 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, 14th chapter and 8th verse. So the devotee's position is one where the devotee is very seriously and intently waiting for that kindness of the Lord while he's suffering. And that suffering is the effects of previous sinful activity. So the suffering's going on, but at the same time, the devotee is very intently waiting for the Lord's kindness. So if one were to define that previous sinful activity, then that definition would be, and these are the words of Krishna, living only for the satisfaction of the senses. So that's the broad definition. And that's from Bhagavad Gita in the 3rd chapter in the 16th verse. So that previous time of not having understood nature's law, that having a human life is meant for self-realization. So In the present time, the devotee finds satisfaction in the acts of Krishna consciousness, and he also has to suffer sometimes punishments that have been arranged by Lord Krishna to remove those last traces of that enjoying spirit. So those traces of previous sinful mentality, they're all in the mind, and the Lord's arrangement, often externally, it looks like a sinful reaction. So Srila Prabhupada writes that the particular punishment that's given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Now, Gajendra, much earlier on, when we first got exposed to him, he was compared to a human, and these were the words used to describe him, who lacks spiritual knowledge. That means that he didn't know that life was meant for self-realization. And he's also described, and these were the words that we used to describe him, as being too attached to his family members. That was in the second chapter. Thus, one could infer that Gajendra's enjoying spirit was very evident. Indeed, there's descriptions that bear this out. So here's one of those descriptions. Surrounded by the herd's other elephants and followed by the young ones, Gajapati, the leader of the elephants, made Trikuta Mountain tremble all around because of the weight of his body. He was perspiring, liquor dripped from his mouth, and his vision was overwhelmed with intoxication. He was being served by bumblebees who drank honey, and from a distance he could smell the dust of the lotus flowers which was raised from the lake by the breeze. So the very description, the nature of the description, makes it evident that enjoying spirit of Gajendra. So the punishment that King Indradumya received to take on this body of a dull elephant, Gajendra, was in the form of the curse issued by Agastya Muni. And now, King Indradumya had in fact been very ecstatically meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he failed to pay heed to the presence of a saintly personality and the various brahmanas accompanying him, the disciples of Agastya Rishi. So his particular offense, if one were to look at it that way, was the failure to show proper etiquette. So he failed to offer a proper reception to the great sage and his disciples. Agastya Muni was very angry, and his response was to say the following words: "This King Indradumya is not at all gentle. Being low and uneducated, he has insulted a brahmana. May he therefore enter the region of darkness and receive the dull, dumb body of an elephant." So for a brahmana to call the king low and uneducated, it immediately indicates there's been a transgression made on the part of the king. Now, the role of the brahmana is to guide a human society in becoming happy, to satisfy Lord Vishnu. That's the role of the brahmana. And it's according to his advice, the brahmana's advice, that the kshatriyas, and that was the status of the king, or King Indradumya, on their advice, the king is able to keep law and order so that other people meaning the Vaishyas, the Sudras, can properly follow the regulative principles to be elevated to Krishna consciousness. So, from the viewpoint of the Brahmana, Agastya Rishi, the king exhibited also a lack of knowledge in terms of that relationship between the Brahmana and himself. And he also acted in a way that was indicative of somebody of a lower status. Now, the response on the part of King Indrajumya was indicated his understanding as a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he welcomed the curse. So, and the reason he was able to welcome the curse as a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that he was aware that nothing could occur without it being the specific desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in actuality, the king wasn't at fault. That's the interesting part. And this is mentioned in a different section of the Bhagavatam, in the seventh canto, the fourth chapter, there's a verse. He considered this occurrence to be due to his past misdeeds. So Gajendra, he comes to experience, as Gajendra, he comes to experience that punishment of the Lord, which was to remove those last traces of the enjoying spirit present in the mind. So he actually gets put into the celestial realm. And the Trikuta mountain is actually his place of residence. And it's described again, just thinking, the arrangement has been made to remove whatever enjoying spirits is in the mind, but look at the description of where Gajendra actually is placed, or Lord Indrajumya in his form as Gajendra. Many lakes and rivers with beaches covered by small gems resembling grains of sand. The water is as clear as crystal, and when the demigod damsels bathe in it, their bodies lend fragrance to the water, and the breeze thus enriches the atmosphere. So even in that realm, Gajendra was actually being protected by the devotional service he'd done previously. And the protection that's given to a devotee that falls down, which you could say was the case with King Indrajumya, is explained by the demigods in one section of the Bhagavatam. And they say, O Madhava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. That's in the 10th canto, the second chapter, where the demigods are praying to Lord Krishna. So it is that strong attachment to the Lord that gives the protection, because that's the connection in the relationship. The attachment leads to the protection, the reciprocal protection. And Gajendra is allowed, that protection becomes manifest because Gajendra is allowed to remember his relationship with the Lord. So much so that he even acknowledges, in his body as an elephant, he acknowledges his impediments in that relationship. And these are his words. My Lord, those who are completely free from material contamination always meditate upon you within the cause of their hearts. You are extremely difficult to attain for those like me who are too attached to mental concoction, home, relatives, friends, money, servants and assistants. So Gajendra is even able to acknowledge those impediments in the relationship. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, uncontaminated by the modes of nature. You are the reservoir of all enlightenment, the Supreme Controller. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I was thinking about this this morning, considering whether to bring up a personal example, and I felt a little shy, and I thought, well, it's actually useful, so I will. In my early Krishna conscious life, I was doing a lot of speed cycling through Brooklyn, and I had to take a main thoroughfare always to get to the temple, and one particular morning some huge truck didn't see me and knocked me down, and so there was some suffering that followed on that, like some skin getting severed, and it was very interesting, the experience, because I was very convinced that you know, this was actually obviously the result of some previous sinful activity. So I completely accepted it. In fact, just because I accepted it, I was able to look at, you know, the body in a sort of hurt condition in a very detached way. It was sort of interesting. I thought, oh, this is how the body's designed inside. Very interesting. And then over time, through you know, the shift that happens with some damage to the body, that things slow down, one has to contemplate things more, I became even more aware of how I was being protected. I saw it as, you know, the most extraordinary opportunity to actually, you know, stop that usual passionate way of functioning and actually be more peaceful and contemplative. So I would say that certainly just having an understanding, well, firstly an acceptance that there's some kindness in having to get some reaction. I mean, I can't say that I understood at that time that it was a specific arrangement for me, but subsequently I did. And just the acceptance and the confidence that I was being protected made it very apparent that it was an extraordinary arrangement to look more internally and stop the external passionate functioning. So I was very grateful. So now if we go back to Gajendra, there's a connection that he has to Lord Narayan, and this is because at that time, as King Indrajumya, he was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we can understand that just because he was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the consequence would be that transcendental love would arise. And there's some evidence for this, because Krishna himself says it, actually addressing the gopis, but I'm going to use his words because I think it's relevant here. Krishna says, transcendental love for me arises by the devotional processes of hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating on me, which is King Gajendra, and faithfully chanting my glories. The same result cannot be achieved by mere physical proximity. That's again from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the 29th verse. Nectar of Devotion tells us that when a devotee is found to be always in association with the Lord, which is something that what we were witnessing with Gajendra through his prayers, it's to be understood that that position was awarded by Lord Krishna, and it was coming from Lord Krishna's great kindness. So that transcendental love brought Lord Narayan to Gajendra, allowed Gajendra to attain one of the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation. And in his particular case, the kind he received was achieving the bodily features of the Lord. And the others are residing where the Lord resides. Another one is attaining the eternal association of the Lord, and the other one is dwelling on the planet where the Lord resides. So the criterion that got met by Gajendra to achieve this liberation is that he exhibited a very profound veneration for the Lord. And this profound veneration allowed him to develop that love and affection. And also in the Nectar of Devotion, there's an explanation that having the mind always fixed upon the Lord is that devotional attitude that attracts the Lord. And Gajendra certainly showed that. He says, "I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, the Super Soul, the master of all mystic yoga, who's seen in the core of the hearts by perfect mystics when they are completely purified and freed from the reaction of furtive activity by practicing bhakti yoga." So clearly he was in that position. His mind was completely fixed upon the Lord. So these are some thoughts on this particular verse of how it is that Gajendra came to this point of receiving liberation. If there's any thoughts to add?
Hare Krishna. I have a question. One of the first points you made up about, or not made up, but made about how our difficult situations are specifically designed for us to learn from them, like the causes of those situations.
I didn't hear perfectly.
The difficulties that we experience are specifically designed for us to learn the lesson that caused those problems in the first place. I'm wondering how we get through the difficulties or how we learn from them. I'm wondering specifically if we're supposed to face them and understand them specifically, or more so like drown them out with Krishna conscious activities, like facing specific anarthas or difficulties within ourselves, or instead just focusing on Krishna, or maybe a little bit of both.
Okay, so the question had to do with when one has a particular difficulty, and if one takes the point being made that the difficulty is designed by Krishna in such a way that will actually particularly address the mentality that caused some problem itself. And if one should actually have one's focus just be on Krishna, or try and look at the anarthas or the causes of the difficulty, or a bit of both. It's a very excellent question, because the natural thing is that when there is some suffering, the mind gets preoccupied with the suffering. And also there's various steps one has to take to even attend to the suffering. So, if it's some physical difficulty that comes, then, one may have to do certain exercises or, take certain medicines. And then the part of, how do you actually keep the mind focused on Krishna, and are you in fact supposed to be looking at what is the particular mentality that you know, is causing some obstruction in the relationship. At least I can say from my understanding that it's very much under the in the control of Krishna. So he exposes something that needs attention a little piece at a time, so it's never overwhelming. And the little piece that's exposed each time is indeed the obstacle in the relationship with Krishna, so it does require attention. So now one may think that you know, what's been exposed is, oh, maybe one had a difficulty in a family relationship. So there's some blockage in the heart because of that many years of interaction with a particular family member. And so one will see that one's got a block. And then one understands, if one looks at it a little bit, oh, naturally, this comes from that interaction. I've learned this particular way of functioning, but it's not helpful. It's a block that would be better to move out of the way. So then sometimes one has to actually look at that particular cause of the blockage. Not directly that one has to go to the person, but one has to look at how the pattern plays itself out internally, where one is inhibited in some way in one's free flow of expression of devotional sentiments. And at the same time, one doesn't look at it without fervently praying to Krishna that one is given strength to look at something that's very difficult, that may have been there, you know, many lifetimes in the subtle body. At least one can recognize that in this lifetime, oh, one can see it took place this way, but no doubt something's been carried a long time. So one prays for the strength to look at it. Yeah, it's part of no longer having emotional investment in that's the obstacle. So one has to invest some time and some energy to attend to something so that it actually moves out of the way. And one may never even have thought to ever do that were it not that some arrangement was made where one actually was forced to look at it. And then one understands, oh, what a great kindness, and one embraces the difficulty. One truly embraces it and is so grateful that Lord Krishna made the arrangement to expose such a blockage. Some thoughts?
I had a question that if Gajendra did not remember his earlier constitution where he was praying to God, and just by the dint of his merits, would he have not automatically gained liberation? Like, not everybody is in a position to remember God constantly, but aren't they also supposed to get liberation based on their past merits, just like being good and following moral concepts and precepts, and not like committing offenses against anybody? So if generally humanity or animals, aren't they supposed to also get liberation based on their merits if they don't pray to God, if they cannot pray to God because not everybody can remember God, then...
Okay, so the question, well, at least the latter part of it was that if one has acquired some merits, then surely one would be eligible for liberation based on the merits. And the second part was that an animal may not be in a position to remember God, and so wouldn't that animal be liberated based on the past merits? If one views the relationship that one has with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a transactional relationship, where one performs some activity for the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the understanding that now one has increased one's bank balance of pious credits, then certainly one will get the exact amount one is supposed to get according to the pious credit. So in your bank balance, you've got your negative and your positive, so your pious credits are now on the positive. You've done some action for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you know, you can look at your balance and the balance says, aha, I have X amount of pious credits. So, if one were to ask, okay, well, aren't I supposed to be receiving what is due to me based on those pious credits? yes, that is up to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to award or not award. And generally, if it's not done as in a devotional spirit, then the pious credits just automatically accrue, and the impious acts also accrue, because it's two ways, it's not exclusively that the pious credits are accruing. Then that gets taken care of through his agents. He doesn't have too much hand in that. But certainly there's a record is made that is there, and there is it's not possible to cancel out the impious acts with the pious acts. One has to actually go through the reaction of both, because of the fact that the action was not performed in a spirit of devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the missing ingredient. So liberation, certainly the Vaishnava liberation is to be an associate of the Lord. So how can one even talk about being an associate of the Lord if one's mentality in performing service to the Lord is completely devoid of any devotional sentiment? It's merely a transaction. So there's, one can't even enter into the discussion of liberation. But in the case of Gajendra, he may have been in the body of an elephant, but by virtue of the fact that the entire arrangement made for him was due to his devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his prior life it means that he actually was carrying the transcendental pious credits. That never leave any entity, no matter what body they're in. So those transcendental pious credits, because they're based on a devotional spirit, they manifested as devotion even in the body of the elephant, and the ability of being able to recall those devotional sentiments is precisely because there is an existing relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The liberation there is as an associate of the Lord because there is a relationship. Let's answer. Okay, if there isn't anything else, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.